Let's turn to John chapter 18 this morning. John chapter 18. We are continuing in our walk through the trials of Jesus by the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and then finally into the trials of the Romans, and particularly we're looking at Jesus and his dealings with Pontius Pilate. John chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse 37. And Pilate said to him, to Jesus, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Father, thank you for your word. Today, may your word penetrate our hearts and teach us of truth. And may we run to truth today. Let us have ears to hear that we might know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Francis Schaeffer, the great Christian apologist, in speaking to the melding together of all religions and philosophies as basically believing the same thing, said, "Christianity is not a series of truths in the plural, but rather truth spelled with a capital T. Truth about total reality, not just about religious things." As Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate during the first Roman trial of the day, this day is the day of Passover. It is the day that Jesus will be brutally scourged. He'll be crucified, killed, and buried. On this day, he is mockingly questioned by the Roman procurator, Pilate. Now remember, Pilate hates the Jews. Although this looks like this is some kind of partnership that they are working through, they are not on good terms. But although Pilate hates the Jews, he fears losing power more. The Jews have already conducted 3 trials during the night, illegal trials. But they're not looking for answers. They instead are looking for an unquestioned execution. They've turned to Pilate so that he will do their dirty work for them. And the Jews were seeking to implicate Jesus as an insurrectionist who is seeking to overthrow the rule of Caesar in Jerusalem. And so thus, Pilate questions Jesus really in verse 35 and following, or verse 33 and following. He questions Jesus about being a king. He believes that Jesus, and that the Jews believe that Jesus is essentially setting himself up as a king as opposed and against the rule of Caesar. So he asks him these questions before he gets to his final question, the question that we're going to look at this morning. What is truth? You remember Jesus said to him when he said, so you are a king. And by the way, that's not Pilate confessing that Jesus is a king. That's not Pilate finally coming to his senses. He finally awakens and he sees, oh, so you are really a king. This is Pilate mocking. This is heavy sarcasm. This is dripping with derision towards the answer that Jesus gives. Jesus answered and says, you say that I am. And then he says, it was for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. If I were just to ask that question without having read this text at all, and I just ask you the question, tell me, what was the reason that Jesus came? For what purpose did Jesus come into the world? We would, most all of us would say, he came to die for sin. And that's absolutely right. That's precisely correct. Jesus did come to die for sin. Jesus came to be the payment for our transgressions against a holy God. But in concert, in correspondence with that truth, we see that Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. The word that's used here is a word that's used in court. It's to be a witness. It's also the word for martyr. Someone who will witness to the truth. So this morning I want us to look just very quickly at the truth in three particular principles. First, I want you to see that the truth reigns. And if you have your bulletin, it's on the back. You'll see it there. The truth reigns. That's R-E-I-G-N-S, not R-A-I-N-S. The truth reigns, and then you're going to see the truth revealed and why God reveals truth the way that he does, and then finally the truth rejected. So first of all, let's look at the truth as it reigns supremely. Look again at verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? What have you done, Jesus? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And then Pilate says the last words that he'll say to Jesus at this point when he says, what is truth? Jesus indeed came as a king. He says as much. But he comes in a much different fashion than what Pilate could imagine. The reign of Caesar, of which Pontius Pilate represented, was about power. It was about prestige and land and wealth and worldly success and expansion and iron fist clad domination. That was the reign of Rome. That was the expansion of Caesar. That's the way that the Roman kingdom would continue to move forward. And Jesus was a different way. These were the values that were highly prized by Rome. But Jesus, when he receives this question of kingship from Pilate, the very charges themselves which the Jews wish Pilate to put him to death, the fact that he's establishing himself as a king, when Jesus receives this question of kingship from Pilate, we find that the foundation of Jesus' kingdom is much different. Drastically different, a huge contrast, night and day from the values of the Roman kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is not political. He's not opposed to politics at all. In fact, it is a tool for good. But his kingdom is not political. It's not financial. It's not geographical. It's not philosophical. Jesus is not another philosopher on the realm as Socrates or Aristotle. Jesus is not coming to gobble up as much land as he can, like the Egyptian kings or the Persian kings. He is not here to establish a financial realm, as some on, unfortunately, on TV today would tell you. Instead, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is about one singular purpose. It's about truth. About what is truth. It is about the truth. And truth is what is real. That sounds like, well, duh. Of course, truth is what is real. It's not what we want truth to be. Now, I think that this is very relevant to our culture today. Hello, good morning. Yeah? This is what is predominantly talked about on the talking heads of our culture today. Whether you turn on the TV or you turn on your iPad, you get on Facebook or Twitter or CNN or whatever it is, the predominant voice, the predominant dialogue that's happening, or many times it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue that's going on today, is about what is truth. Truth is not what we want it to be. Truth is not what we think it is. It's not how opinion polls or media declare it to be. Truth is how things really are. Now, I know that we see in our society today that, much like Rome, we see our culture positioning for values. Values like life or identity or freedom or rights. All of those seem to be up for a collective grab at this point. Up for redefining, up for restructuring, or giving them new meaning. But really today, the battle in our culture is for the redefining of truth, of what is real. From a Christian worldview, what is real is not based upon subjective feelings, upon cultural opinions, or the shifting sand of political branding. Let me just say it like this. It really doesn't matter what you believe truth is. Truth will be truth whether you believe it or not. And truth will always reign. Have you ever noticed this? Here we are 2,000 years after Christ, and the truth of Jesus Christ continues to march on. The truth and values of the scripture continue to make progress and move forward. There would be some who will say that this book is an old-fashioned book that's dead, it's a relic, and Christianity is falling apart. It's not Christianity that's falling apart. Evangelicalism is not working very well right now, and I would tell you it's because evangelicalism is not always married to truth. We've got to find our way back to what is truth. For Christians, what is real, this is very simplistic, okay? I'll warn you. For Christians, what is real is what God says is real. Now, I don't just simply mean, you know, close your Bible and thump on it as hard as you can and say, well, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Do you like my impression of Elmer Fudd there? We're not looking for that kind of Elmer Fudd Christianity. We're looking for a Christianity that's constantly pursuing truth, that knows the truth, that desires the truth, that craves the truth, and that stands on the truth. This is what Jesus meant when he said, I have come into the world to testify to the truth. What is truth? Well, Jesus prayed this way, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Remember John 17? Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Jesus came as the word to testify to the truth. Turn in your Bibles, John chapter 1. Keep your finger there in John 18. We'll be back very shortly. John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Why did Jesus come? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In him, in Jesus, Paul says, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's another way of saying you were saved. The word of truth. Listen, the word of God is truth. It is not a truth. It's not one of many truths. It is the truth. It is unshifting. It is unchanging. It is, and it's good that it's not that way. This is not a, as we would say in the army, it is not a moving target constantly. It's much easier to hit a stationary target. Anybody who's ever shot before, you know this is true. It's a lot easier to hit a stationary target. The word of God is not moving. It's not changing. It's not shifting. It doesn't meld into the culture and kind of find itself as a chameleon and working its way into the culture to look like it and act like it and sound like it. The word of God stands on its own. It stood the test of time, and it will constantly be true. I know, for us as Christians, we feel the upheaval in our culture. The tectonic plates of culture are bucking and grinding and cracking apart at the seams. And if you're like me, you can look at all of that and you can gloom, despair, and agony on me, right? But listen, take heart today, believer. Stand fast, my brothers and sisters. Don't give up, parents. Hello. Don't give up, teachers and lawmakers and workers and retirees. Don't give up. This is why, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Forever. the word of the Lord reigns forever. God's truth marches on. The truth reigns, and Jesus still bears witness to the truth that reigns. I don't know if you feel this way. It can become very depressing. To look at a place and a people that you love, to put on your patriotic hat, I do, to see what looks like the foundations crumbling. My friends, do not despair. This ain't over yet. The truth of God will always reign. Pilate might stand mockingly before Jesus, but Jesus says, this is the truth, and it reigns because my kingdom is about truth. I want you to see, secondly here, the truth revealed. An interesting statement that Jesus makes at the end of verse 37, after he tells us he came for the purpose of bearing witness to the truth, he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Listens to my voice. This is the truth revealed. Jesus here, when he speaks these words, everyone who is of the truth, he is speaking about, he is referring to those who believe, those who have placed their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, those who have been transformed, those who have been born again, those who have been saved, those who have been regenerated, who have been reconciled, who have been justified, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is saying to Pilate, everyone who is saved, everyone who is mine, everyone who is under my rule and reign in my kingdom hears my voice, listens to my voice. That's why Pilate was it. Oh, he heard his voice with his natural ear, but he couldn't hear his voice with his heart because he did not believe and trust in Christ. Truth is revealed, brothers and sisters, today in the voice of Christ. If you're looking for truth, if you've come here today and you're looking for truth, you want to know what is real, let me suggest today that you get into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read the red letters. You read what Jesus has to say, because truth comes in what Jesus has to say. Truth is revealed through the voice of Christ, through the voice of God. This is exactly why it is the truth that is attacked in our culture today. Listen to how Paul gives commentary to this. You could read Romans chapter 1 and think that Paul wrote it yesterday. We are familiar with the 16th verse, and boy, we love to quote it, and I love to quote it. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We often leave out at verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Do you hear that? By their unrighteousness, they are seeking to suppress the truth. Why? Because for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, truth is not given out by the White House. Do not look to your truth from Hollywood or Wall Street or any other address. Truth is revealed by God. Listen, truth is given to us, is granted to us, is revealed to us. The word revealed, it's the word revelation, where we get our word revelation. It means the uncovering of. God has revealed his truth to us in this book. We don't invent truth. We don't develop new truth like somebody has developed new math. I better not commentate. Listen, we don't even discover truth. Listen to me. We don't even discover truth. Truth is revealed to us. God does the uncovering and shows us the truth because God is the source of all truth. In fact, truth is a self-expression of God. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, the will, the character, the glory, and being of God. You want to know why Pilate missed it? Pilate missed it because he thought Jesus was a political king. When in fact, because he was there to witness to the truth, because he was there to tell of the character and nature of God, as Hebrews says, he is the exact imprint, the very nature of God. Because he thought Jesus was this kind of king, but Jesus was there to witness to the truth. The truth is, Jesus is not a political king at all. He is a theological king that reigns over everything because he is truth. Listen, truth is not a political system. Truth is not a philosophy. If you have, when you went to college, you've probably had to study, if you've gone to college, you probably had to study some philosophy, or maybe in high school, you had to study some philosophy and look at all the different philosophers, and they have all been about grinding their hands to the bone to figure out truth, and they never will because it is not a philosophical system. It is a theological reality. Truth is based in God. Here, I'm going to show you. First of all, I want to show you that God the Father is truth. Turn over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. I want you to see that God the Father is truth. In verse 16, Isaiah 65, verse 16, it says, "So that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth. And he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth." God the Father is the source of all truth. Now we know that God the Son is the source of truth. Remember where we were? We started in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now look at verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Look at John 14:6. I think most of you probably know this verse by heart. Jesus said to Thomas, who was, you know, questioning what was going on, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the way that Jesus structures that sentence, what he's saying is, there is not a way to get to the Father without truth. And you won't have life in the Father if you don't have truth. And Jesus said, "I am the truth." turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. I'm just trying to give you a solid biblical foundation on the fact that truth is theological. Verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, "This is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus." Even Paul recognizes that Jesus Christ is truth. But I want to show you that it's not just theological, it is Trinitarian theological. John chapter 14 again, and verse 17. We've got to go back to verse 16, right? "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Turn over one chapter, John 15, verse 26. "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." So Jesus says, I came to bear witness to the truth, and the Holy Spirit has been given to you to bear witness about me, and I am the way and the truth and the life. Now just one chapter over again, probably on the same page, John 16, 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Has the Holy Spirit spoken? Not a rhetorical question. Has the Holy Spirit spoken to us? Yes, he has. He absolutely has. And I'll give you a little phrase that'll make it real easy for you to remember. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the work of God. Always. All of the writers of this book were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Peter says, men of old who the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave witness to them that they might write down the things that they had seen and heard from God the Father. When you read this book, you are reading truth, because God is the source of all truth. And this has been given to us by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you want to know what truth is, don't turn to CNN. Don't turn to Facebook or Twitter or your friends in school or wherever who are going to give you all kinds of philosophical circus and geometric shapes and all kinds of stuff. Turn to the Word of God. Because truth is not political, truth is not philosophical, truth is not geographical, truth is theological. It is from God. This is why the knowledge of God through the Scriptures is so important. Because truth is not subjective. It's not a cultural construct. It's not old-fashioned. It's not irrelevant. And the reason why is because it's not changing. Precisely because it's not changing. Truth is revealed by God, and therefore it is a critical issue for every human being. Well, we've looked at the fact that truth reigns and that truth is revealed, but finally I want you to see truth rejected. Look again in John chapter 18. Listen to all of these words that Pilate says. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" He's not asking for an answer from Jesus. By the way, his question, while it's snarky and mocking and gloating, he is absolutely rejecting truth at this point. It's not his only rejection. Look what he goes on and says, or it says, "After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, 'I find no guilt in him.'" That makes him sound like a good guy, right? I don't find any guilt in Jesus. Then he says, "But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" There he brings up this mocking sarcasm again. Is that what you want me to do? You've got a custom. You want me to give you your king? they cried out, no, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Most commentators believe that Pilate stood before the Jews who were out before him, and on one side he had Jesus, and on the other side he had Barabbas. And he said, you have a custom. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? And what's implied there is, or do you want me to release to you Barabbas, who is an insurrectionist, who is a really, really, really bad guy? You want to see how big the rejection of the Jews was? Because they were not of the Father and they could not hear his voice, they did not turn to the Son of the Father. Instead, they turned to this Son of the Father. You see, the word Barabbas, the word bar means son, bar, abba, Barabbas. Here you have the Son of the Heavenly Father from which all truth comes, and here you have the Son of the Father of lies. And who did they choose? Well, they choose who all of us would probably choose, who all of us have chosen. We choose our own way. We choose the way of the world. We choose the way of comfort, of ease. We choose the way that doesn't get in our face, that doesn't hold us accountable. They chose Barabbas. Well, Pilate's question that he gave towards Jesus certainly was snarky and mocking. What is truth? Nobody can know. That's what he's saying. Nobody can really know. Who determines it anyway? So Pilate's giving the Heisman stiff arm to Jesus here. You know, when we reject truth, the rejection of truth, whether it's Pilate's question or the way that the Jews acted with Barabbas, this is the mother of all sins. This is where all sin is really birthed from. It actually goes all the way back to the garden. Genesis chapter 3, does it not? Genesis 3 verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say that you should not eat of any tree in the garden? That's the rejection of truth, rejection of what God has said. Whether it's watering it down or disregarding it altogether. Our culture and many of us want no moral absolutes because we don't want to be accountable. We want to be able to live life the way that we want without being told what we're supposed to do or who we're supposed to do it with or when or where we're supposed to do it. But in order to get there, you don't just have to reject values. You have to reject the prime value. You have to reject truth. And that's where we are. If you go to your computer today, I would encourage you to Google the State of Theology. State of Theology. It's a massive poll that was done by Ligonier Ministry and Lifeway Ministry. And the number 30 question out of, I think, 34 asked this question. Religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth. Let me say that again so y'all can get a real good grasp on this, okay? Religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth. Now, when they looked at their entire poll, the entire body of people that they asked this question, twice as many people agreed with that statement as disagreed. Some of you are looking at me like, what? I thought we were supposed to. No, this This question ought to make your skin crawl. If you're a Christian, this question ought to be repulsive. Religious belief is not a matter of personal opinion. When it comes to Christianity, it is a matter of objective truth. Well, you think that's bad. When you reduce it down and you just look at people who came from evangelical churches, it was almost exactly equal. That's incredibly sad. And this is why it's incredibly sad, because even us in the church, we are a generation of moral illiterates. If you reject the truth, you reject Jesus. It's that simple. It really comes down to that. If you reject the truth, you reject Jesus. If you deny moral absolutes, you got to throw the Bible out completely. If there are no objective standards, you have to deny salvation in Christ. You have to deny the existence of God. But here's the good news today. But if you believe the truth, salvation is yours. If you believe the truth today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus Christ died on a cross, not because of his transgressions, but because of your transgressions, he took the penalty for your sin, he died for you in your place, he became your substitute. That's the truth that Jesus came to reveal, and that is the good news. In the midst of all the darkness in our culture today, when it looks like everything is going straight to hell in a handbasket, the good news of the gospel today is just this, that Jesus said, my purpose for which I was born, the whole reason for why I came, was to bear witness to the truth. And this is the truth, that God loves sinners. And he died for us. Christ died on the cross for your sin. That's the truth for us today. And if you hear his voice today, if you hear his voice calling to you today, then respond to him and come and be saved. Receive the good news today. Believe the truth. John 10, verse 27 says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I love that verse. You say, well, wait a minute. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. I've never heard an audible voice before. It's not an audible voice. It's much, much louder than that. If Christ has saved you, you know what I'm saying. It's not an audible voice. It's a whole lot louder than that. It's hearing in the heart. It's understanding the truth in your soul. Listen, here's my question to you today. Have you been given ears to hear? Do you hear the truth today? Is there conviction within your heart? Are there convictions that you have? Then I plead with you today to not reject the truth, to not push the truth aside. Instead, look to Jesus Christ. Turn to the shepherd of the sheep who speaks to you and desires for you to come and be saved. And if you hear that very still, small voice that sounds like he is screaming to your soul, pleading with your heart, then listen today and turn to the truth. Jesus said, apart from the truth, you cannot come to me. No one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus came into this world to testify to the truth and to save sinners. Have you believed? Have you believed? I'm not asking if your grandparents have believed the truth or if your parents have believed the truth. I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking you if you've signed a card or you at one time you you uh, walk down the aisle with all of your other friends, I'm asking you, have you ever come to a point in your life where you've believed the truth? This is what Jesus said about the truth. He said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Christian, are you continuously seeking the truth today? Have you come here today and you're desiring to find truth? Come, because you found it in the person of Jesus Christ. And he is here and ready to bring you into the truth. Let's pray together this morning. There are some of you who are here today that you need to come today. You need to come and confess Christ today. Confess your belief in him as the way and the truth and the life. You need to come today knowing that there's no other way to get to heaven, to come to the Father, but through the truth, through Jesus Christ. And you need to come and confess him today. The Bible says that if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you want to be saved today? Would you come and be saved today? The truth is that today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart when his voice speaks to you today, but come immediately as he speaks to you. Come. Christian, you need to come. Perhaps you need to do as these who have already come today and said, I want to be a part of this faith family. This is a place where the truth is preached and the truth is taught and the truth is lived. You need to come and say, I want to be a part of this place. Or maybe you just need to come to this altar today and pray and say, God, I have not been seeking the truth. I've not been putting myself under the truth, but today I need to. I'm going to pray and then we're going to stand and sing for just a few moments. If you need to make a decision for Christ today, then I invite you to come. I'll be right here at the front, or you can turn and walk to one of these doors that are open behind you and speak with one of our pastors, and we would love to share with you how you can know the truth that sets you free. Father, thank you for your word. Now may the truth of your word do its work in us. May the Spirit of truth use the word of truth to work in our hearts today. And may you receive all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.